into the night. The barn cat yowled when she stepped inside. She was panting by now, her legs shaking like willow twigs. Lowering herself to the hay in the far corner of the calving pen, she drew up her knees. The swollen cows rolled their blue moon eyes in her direction, then turned away quickly, as if they knew better than to bear witness. She concentrated on the hides of the Holsteins until their black spots shimmied and swam. She sank her teeth into the rolled hem of her nightgown. There was a funnel of pressure, as if she were being turned inside out, and she remembered how she and Hannah used to squeeze through the hole in the barbed wire fence by the creek's edge, pushing and angled, all knees and grunts and elbows, until by some miracle they'd tumble through. It was over as suddenly as it had begun, and lying on the matted, stained hay between her legs was a baby. Aaron Fisher rolled over beneath the bright quilt to stare at the clock beside the bed. There had been nothing, no sound, to wake him. But after 45 years of farming and milking, the smallest things could pull him out of sleep. A footfall in the corn, a change in the pattern of the wind, the rasp of a mother's tongue roughing a newborn calf. He felt the mattress give as Sarah came up on an elbow behind him, the long braid of her hair curling over her shoulder like a seaman's rope. "Was ist letz? What's the matter?" It was not the animals. There was a full month before the first cow was due to deliver. It was not a robber. There was too little noise. He felt his wife's arm slip around him, hugging his back to her front. "Nix," he murmured. "Nothing." But he did not know if he was trying to convince Sarah or himself. She knew enough to cut the cord that spiraled purple to the baby's belly. Hands shaking, she managed to reach the old scissors that hung on a peg near the pen's door. They were rusty and coated with bits of hay. The cord severed in two thick snips, and then began spurting blood. Horrified, she pressed her fingers to the ends, pinching it shut, wildly looking around for something to tie it off. She rummaged in the hay and came up with a small length of baling twine, which she quickly tied around the cord. The bleeding slowed, then stopped. Relieved, she sank back on her elbows. And then the newborn started to cry. She snatched the baby up and rocked it tightly. With her foot, she kicked at the hay, trying to cover the blood with a clean layer. The baby's mouth opened and closed on the cotton of her nightgown, rooting. She knew what the baby wanted, needed, but she couldn't do it. It would make this real. So she gave the baby her pinky finger instead. She let the small, powerful jaws suckle, while she did what she had been taught to do in times of extreme stress, what she had been doing for months now. "Lord," she prayed, "please make this go away." The rustle of chains awakened her. It was still dark out, but the dairy cow's internal schedule had them rising at their individual stalls, their bags hanging blue-veined and round with milk, like full moons caught between their legs. She was sore and tired, but knew she had to get out of the barn before the men arrived to do the milking. Glancing down, she realized that a miracle had come to pass. The blood-soaked hay was fresh now, except for a small stain beneath her own bottom. And the two things she'd been holding when she fell asleep, the scissors and the newborn, were gone. She pulled herself to her feet and glanced toward the roof, awed and reverent. "Denke," she whispered, and then she ran out of the barn into the shadows. Like all other 16-year-old Amish boys, Levi Esch no longer attended school. He'd gone through the 8th grade and was now in that limbo between being a child and being old enough to be baptized